May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel story reminds us of the prophecy concerning Jesus' ministry, as spoken by Isaiah. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Which people? What light? Galilee is a town north of Samaria. Galilee is part of the lost tribes of Israel. These are the people. Jesus is the light. Then we hear that Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." But Jesus doesn't stop there. He went for a walk along the Sea of Galilee and called two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, who are fishing with nets, and James and John, who are mending nets with their father. In both cases, immediately, they left their work as fishermen and followed Jesus. But what does that say to me? Like James and John, I thought I knew what my life profession would be and actively worked at it. Like Peter and Andrew, that changed. As a teenager, it was evident to my family that I felt called to the church. I earned my religious award in Scouts at a time when no one else was even working on it. I attended Sunday school faithfully. When there were no teachers for classes above fourth grade, I helped in the fourth grade. I was active as an acolyte and became a Eucharistic minister as a teenager. My aunt, Ruth Adams, was secretary to Bishop Cochran. I still remember her advice to my parents and myself. Don't plan to go to seminary right after college. Bishop Cochran prefers candidates that have worked in a job for a while first. Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets, but I would have to find my own work before I could leave it. In college, I earned two bachelor's degrees, philosophy and computer science. I enjoyed them both. I was hired as a computer programmer by an information technology company called EDS. There was something settling about being in a stable, full-time job, so I put off the idea of seminary. It's not the only thing I put off. I had an opportunity to visit the Holy Land as part of a tour group in the early 1990s. I was interested, but I didn't feel the time was right. So, maybe later. In 1998, after work had brought me back to my native Pacific Northwest, while sitting in church at St. Anthony's, I heard an announcement about inviting us to consider visiting the Holy Land again with a tour group. I thought about it and decided, maybe later. James and John immediately left their father in the boat. Just 6 months later, while those who had accepted the invitation were there walking in the Holy Land, I received a third invitation. Okay, Lord, I get it. I'll go. I was in the Holy Land in August of 1999, just months before the Intifada. Years later, while looking through my notes, I found several things. I still have strong memories of those things. Memories of places like the Well of Mary, the Dead Sea, Damascus Gate of Jerusalem. I remember thinking about the tour groups and being grateful that I was visiting with the people who lived there. people who refer to themselves as the living stones. I sensed God awakening a hunger in my heart to go out and serve by being with the people. I also discovered in my notes that I was already praying about Peace Corps. I thought Peace Corps was something that was suggested to me on the way home. Peter and Andrew immediately left their nets. Not me. I returned to my work. Years later, I did apply for Peace Corps, and a year after that, I began my service as a Peace Corps volunteer in the Gambia, West Africa. Mom made me promise that I would not extend, that I would come home immediately after my 2 years were over. Remember that hunger? How God had used the Holy Land to awaken my call to serve? I began teaching what computers are and how to use them at the only boarding school in the Gambia and at the secretarial school and at the regional education office. I quickly found myself working three times what was considered to be a full time. I was also active with the scout troop at the school and in the Gambia Scout Association's National Training Committee. My return date for Peace Corps was based on time, not the program I was in. As a result, I was due to return 3 weeks before the end of the school year. I called Mom, and she agreed to let me extend the 3 weeks and finish the school year. Immediately? So much for coming home immediately. It took time to find work after coming home. The computer programming industry was still offshoring a lot of the work. Opportunity found me, and it was during coffee hour at St. Anthony's. A retired Navy storekeeper was talking about how hard it was for him to get to church because of all the hours he needed to work due to being understaffed. I had worked for 13 years as a computer programmer before going to Peace Corps. This would be the beginning of 14 years as a freight forwarder after Peace Corps. Immediately? But it didn't take 14 years to ask the vicar about discernment. It did take a long time to get that first discernment group formed, and then people kept dropping out. The three of us that were left by the fall of 2009 agreed that I should test what I was discerning by accepting the invitation to serve in India. While I was in India, I taught computer skills. Imagine that. I also taught math and English. Each day began with morning prayer for everyone living in the hostels, including me. One Hindu eighth grader, Kalyan, had good English language skills and asked for the opportunity to practice, so he was assigned to check on me daily. He became a trusted friend. He also took to escorting me to every Christian service, including ones he previously would have skipped because they were optional for students. I was encouraged by this and by all my experiences in India. So when I came back, I was ready to move forward. Bishop Gregg said the discernment group was too small and needed to be redone. Immediately? It took a couple months to form a new discernment group. We were six in number this time, and we all stayed with it for several years. Ultimately, the group said no to seminary. Usually, a person enters discernment with one question to work on. I had four. The two had been dismissed quickly. Do nothing? Should I seek the priesthood? Now the third, should I seek the diaconate, was answered with a no. Several members of the group saw that I took it hard and reworded the answer as, not at this time. I had not entered discernment just to check off a box. I had promised myself and God that I would accept the result. Did I? As I said, I took it hard. I even wanted to reject it. But I did accept it. When friends, on two separate occasions, invited me to try again, I said no. I was accepting the answer. But remember, I said there were four questions. Only three had been dismissed. I had assumed all those years ago the call was the seminary. It is a call to serve as a missionary. That was the fourth question. It was always clouded with how, when, where. Immediately, James and John left their father in the boat. Discernment rendered their decision many years ago. Since then, I have been helped to answer those questions by meeting with missionaries like Leroy and Amanda, serving in Uganda, and by visiting Uganda, and with partnering with C10, Commission to Every Nation. While I was in Uganda, I was asked about prison ministry on several occasions. Just 2 days after meeting with Father John and talking with him about prison ministry, we were in another meeting. Again, the topic was prison ministry, and Father John was excited to share what he had learned from me about Kairos, calling it a forgiveness ministry. I was encouraged by how well it was received and how quickly he passed it along. Immediately, Peter and Andrew. Father John's sharing about Kairos was closer to immediate than I was. Each person is unique. Perhaps that's why I hear today's gospel best in today's collect. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation. Amen.